2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says this, while you're looking it up, I'll read. I've got it written out. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And that word says a lot. I guess if I should give it a topic, I guess it would be the comfort that we can receive from God even during tribulation. Comfort during tribulation. Now, points to note, four things I'm going to note from this verse, these verses I've just read. The first thing we've got to note is this, that number one, we must go through tribulation. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus was speaking and he said, and I'm quoting it from my heart, in this world, you will have tribulation, okay? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so we know that we must go through it. If you're a born-again believer, if you're a Christian and you're going through tribulation, understand that the Bible says that we must go through tribulation. So that's the first thing to notice from 1 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. The second thing is, God comforts us in our tribulation. God comforts us in our tribulation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. So even though you're going through tribulation, God comforts us. Number three, our experience of both the tribulation and comfort is so we can help others going through the same thing. The reason why we go through this in this verse, these verses I read, is because when we go through it, okay, we are able to help others. There are times when you cannot help others because you yourself have not been through it. Or there are times when your testimony speaks loud in the face of everything else, because when you're talking to somebody about something, you're speaking now from your experience. I never forget years ago, I'll pause on that point before I come to number four. Years ago, I had fellowship with a pastor who's now moved out of London. He was pastoring a church in Lewisham. And he rang me up and we met. He was going through difficulty and I was in a position where he shared with me what he was going through. And as he was sharing with me what he was going through, I sat there and I listened to him. And I was able to empathize with what he was going through because I had been through the very same thing, almost word for word. Very same thing he was going through, I had been through. So I was able to exalt him, to comfort him. I was able to encourage him and to let him know that, listen, I went through that and God brought me through. And it's painful, it's not nice, but God will bring you through. And I encourage him along those words. And when I shared with him what I had been through, he saw that what he was going through, I had been through. And that was a source of strength. As a matter of fact, he found it. He could not believe that exactly what he was going through, I had already been through it. So sometimes the Lord allows us to go through things, okay, so that we can comfort others. Number four, fourth point to note. God allows us to go through things for the sake of his kingdom and his purpose citizens. Similar to number three, but a little bit different. God allows us to go through things for the sake of his kingdom and for the sake of his kingdom purpose and his kingdom citizens. See, there's a bigger picture at the end of everything. There is a bigger thing that's beyond what we see. There's something beyond the now. And so we have to understand that God allows us to go through this because there's a bigger picture on the horizon that we don't see because we're going through it in the moment, in the time, in this current season. Job comes to my mind. And Job went through a lot of things. He lost almost in one day he lost almost everything. And it wasn't anything that he did wrong. It was just that God allowed him to go through these things. But we see at the end where, if you like, the bigger picture spoke, where God restored Job with everything that he lost and gave him more. Are you with me? So there's a bigger picture at the end of everything that sometimes we don't see. So I just want to encourage your hearts, whatever you're going through, the God of comforts is able to comfort you. Whatever it is, big or small, publicly known or not, God sees and knows. Okay, Proverbs 24 and verse 10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now I'm going to talk about this a little bit. So let me just begin. Let me follow through what I did on Thursday as I was just writing. And I just wrote out some of these verses. I wrote out some points that came to my spirit. And that's what I'm relaying to you now, because I'm believing that this will help somebody. I'm not sure who, but it will help someone. Okay, now, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The day of adversity cannot be avoided. It is coming. The day of adversity cannot be avoided. It is coming. That sounds like bad news, but it's facts and it's realities. Especially so if you're a Christian. Remember now what Jesus said? In this world, you will have tribulation. And by the way, the word tribulation comes from the Greek word thlipsis, which means trouble, trial, testing. It means all the concerns that we may have. It means the different things, negative sometimes, the things that we're going through. Jesus said, as long as you're a believer, as long as you're in this world, you will have that. You will have times of testing. Okay? And there's different reasons why God does that. Okay? So we must do that. We must understand that the day of adversity, it cannot be avoided. If you're a Christian, you are going to go through stuff. You just want to make sure that you're not the cause of the stuff that you're going through. So, because the day of adversity cannot be avoided, the next statement I'm making is this. I must therefore build up myself so that when it comes, I will be victorious. I must therefore build myself up so that when the day of adversity comes, okay, I will be victorious. So the question is, how can I build myself up? And I'm going to give you two things, and I'm going to go to some scriptures, okay? And give you scriptures for these two things. Number one, how can I build myself up? Number one, you can build, I must therefore increase my strength two ways. You need to increase your strength. Remember now, let me take you back. Proverbs 24, 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, the day of trouble, the day of trial, the day of conflict, if you faint in that day, your strength is small. So I've got to build my strength up. How do I build my strength up? Number one, through spiritual nourishment. Number two, through spiritual exercise. I build myself up through spiritual nourishment, and I build myself up through spiritual exercise. I preached a message some years ago, how to develop spiritual stamina. And that's these two points is what came from that or was in that message. Okay, you build spiritual stamina, you build up your strength through spiritual nourishment and through spiritual exercise. Spiritual nourishment, what is that? Spiritual nourishment is what you feed yourself with. So I'm going to build myself up by feeding my spirit, by feeding myself deliberately. Let's talk about that in scripture. Number one, Matthew 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So believers, you take your spiritual nourishment from God's word. You must feed on God's word. Christians who are too busy to feed on God's word are too busy. And you'll find yourself with becoming spiritually malnourished. And it's more than just reading a psalm or reading a scripture this morning. It's going to God and saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want to deposit in my spirit today? It's coming to God on that premise and operating on that premise. So let's look at some of these scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50. Psalm 119, verses 49 and 50. I'm going to read some of these scriptures because I could give them to you, but I want to read some because they're very, very good. They're very touching. All right, now I haven't got my glasses, so bear with me. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction. So when you're going through trouble, trial, affliction, testings, you need the comfort of God's word to comfort you while you're going through that. Okay? So we need God's word to comfort us, the psalmist says, while I am going through affliction. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because when we're going through affliction, when we're going through trouble, trials, testings, if we're not careful, we can sin ourselves. We can handle things wrongly. We can say a wrong word, do a wrong thing. And sometimes people know how to push your button. But you've got to always have that defense of your spirit so that your spirit man is still open to the things of God and to the leading and the promptings of the Holy Spirit while you're going through whatever it is that you're going through. All right, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to look that one up as well. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. All right. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 16. This is what the word of God says. Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So even in times of adversity, in times of affliction, in times of tribulation, in times of trouble, in times of testings, in times of trials, you can bring your praise to God. You can bring your worship to God. Okay, are you with me so far? I know you're writing. I know you're taking notes and so forth. But I just really want you to get this ingrained in you. What the Word of God says, that's our command, that's our jurisdiction. That's what we ought to do. And as I said before, I believe that I'm speaking to someone here and it will help someone, hopefully all of us. Because I know it's helping me even as I'm speaking. All right, because your pastor is not excluded from this. All right, so let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly. So it's got to dwell in us, but it's got to dwell in us richly. How does it dwell in us richly? Proverbs 3 and verse 3, okay, tells us that we should, you can write down, I'm not going to look it up, tells us that we should write the word of God on our hearts. Psalm 45 verse 1 tells us how to write God's word on our hearts. Psalm 45 verse 1 tells us that we should write God's word on our hearts by using our tongue. Our tongue. So we write it by speaking. We write it by saying. We write it by saying it out loud out of our mouths. Not apologetically, not quietly, not internally. You speak it out. You write it out, and you write it out with your tongue. We're still talking about increasing my strength through spiritual nourishment, and I'm showing you from God's word that God's word is a necessity in your life if you are going to be strengthened. If you're going through stuff, you need God's strength. And if you need God's strength, you have to do what God says, what God's word says. And we've got to speak his word, and we've got to write his word on our hearts. James chapter 1 and verse 21. I'm going to read that. James chapter 1 and verse 21. All right. James 1, 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Note, before you can receive with meekness the implanted word to save your soul, there's some stuff you've got to lay aside. Put it aside. Put aside anything. And the Bible is very specific here. All filthiness, with overflow of wickedness. And we looked at this before in the Greek, what it actually means. So I'm not going to do that now. And receive with meekness the implanted word of God. So we're going to lay aside those things that hinder the word from coming in. All right, whatever is there that's taking the space of the word, lay it aside. Take it out. And receive with meekness the implanted word of God. Let me give you a couple more scriptures, and I'm going to move on to number two, the spiritual exercise. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. Hearing the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see the correlation between hearing and speaking? You can't hear something that is not spoken. And hearing, biblically speaking, is the reception through the ear gate. I've studied this before and I've looked at it, because you can spiritualize everything, but that's not what it's talking about. It's receptive through the ear gate, your literal ear gate, into your spirit. Remember, there are three gates to your spirit: your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. So keep that in mind. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. I almost feel like I need to read this one. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. I am going to read it. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Seeing then that we have that's 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So that's what the word of God does. So as I implant it in my heart, what it's doing is it's doing the work, and it's judging everything that's there. Everything that's in your mind, everything that's in your heart, it's balancing it against the word of God. And then we looked at our conscience last week, and the voice of the conscience will be speaking, yeah, that's right, no, that's wrong. And so the Holy Spirit works there. And in your mind, if it's programmed right and filled with the word of God right, we'll be making the decision between the body or the flesh and the spirit. What are you going to do? Your soul is a deciding factor. And it decides, depending on how the will is set, and depending on how much of God's word is in you and how convicted you are about the truth of God's word and it prevailing, then that determines whether or not you win, your spirit wins, or your flesh wins. All right. So, to get strength, I must exercise. I get it through spiritual nourishment. I also get it through spiritual exercise. Okay, let me give you some scriptures. James 1:22. spiritual exercise. Spiritual nourishment, what I take in. Spiritual exercise, what I do. James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of my word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Deception comes when we believe that it's good enough to hear but not to do. So we're hearing the word of God and we're hearing what to do. We've got to have the word of God implanted into our hearts. We've got to have it and feed our spirit with it. And so therefore, now we've got to work it. We've got to put it to work in our lives. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 14. The word is near you, even in your mouth, that you may do it. I believe somewhere to that effect. Time to look it up now. Psalm 119, verse 105. And everything is pointing back to the word. So we've got to receive it, take it in, but we've also got to work it out. Spiritual exercise. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It not only tells you how to walk, but shows you how to walk. Okay? Proverbs 16, verse 20. Proverbs 16, verse 20. Let me look it up. I wasn't going to bother, but let me look it up. Proverbs 16, 20. I want us to really take in what God is saying. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. It says, "He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." So the word has been given even now, folks, and the Bible says that he who heeds the word wisely will find good. So God always has good planned for his people to receive. But before his people receive it, they've got to heed it. Pay attention to it. Give it high priority, even in times of affliction, even in times of trouble, even in times of testing. As a matter of fact, that's when you need the word. That's when you're going to be kept. No word, no victory. Ephesians 3 verse 16 tells us that to him who has no might, God gives might. And might is inherent ability, so that we can do what God wants us to do. And Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, and we all know about Nehemiah and the works of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And in chapter 8 and verse 10, there is part of that verse says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So even while you're working for the Lord, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trouble, trial, testings, you can have the joy of the Lord. Because joy comes primarily by what you know, not what you have. So the joy of the Lord can be, and I declare it today, it is your strength in Jesus' name. All right, so these are the two things, and I've given you scriptures for both. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." That's a beautiful scripture, you know, folks, because what we're going to see now, because I'm going to read from verse 40, I've written it out, so I'm going to read it. From verse 40 to verse 31, you're going to see those set of scriptures gives us a solution and tells us the source of the solution for the Christian, for the believer, when they are going through times of difficulty, when they are experiencing weakness or tiredness or they're feeling faint. All right, we're going to look at these scriptures now, these verses and what they have to say. All right, so Isaiah 40 verse 28, two things to know. Number one, God does not faint. And number two, God is not weary. God doesn't quit. God doesn't give up. That's what it means to faint. And number two, God isn't weary. He doesn't get tired. As a matter of fact, verse 29, it says, "He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength." So are you weak today? Good news. God can strengthen you. Do you have little might today? Good news. God can give you might. He does not get tired. He does not faint. He does not get weary. God has so much that He is able to give to His people when they feel weak, when they feel weary, when they feel like they want to faint, like they're going to faint, or quit, or give up. The Bible says He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. God gives what He has to His people and to them in their walk. Very important. Verse 30. Isaiah 40, 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know what that tells me? Physical strength alone is not enough. So the youth may have a physical strength more than the elderly that doesn't have so much. But this is not talking about physical strength. And here the Bible says, even the youth, right, shall faint and be weary. Talking spiritually now. Even the young shall be faint. And even the young shall be weary. And young men shall utterly fall. But in verse 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord, this is key now, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So hang on a minute. Before I even finish the verse. So if I am weak and I'm feeling weary, I've got to have God's word in my heart. I've got to implant it there using my tongue, using my mouth. When I get it there, in times of trouble, I've got now the reserve of God's word because it's hidden in my heart so that I won't sin against Him. I've got God's word that the Holy Spirit will use to bring up and to help me in the times of affliction, tribulation, persecution, whatever you're going through, God's word now is what's going to sustain me because I've spiritually, if you like, nourished myself. I've fed my spirit with God's word. And that's why we've got to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying. So we can't just read a psalm here or a scripture here. We've got to go to God. Lord, what do you want to say to me? Because God knows what's going to happen to you and around you before you know. And so He will give you a scripture to encourage you so that when the thing comes, that source of scripture is now strength that you've had on your heart to help you with the thing when it actually happens, to bring you through it. Are you with me? To bring you through it when the time does come. Because God sees beforehand what's going to happen. Okay? And He prepares you for that. So, let me read on. So, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Alright? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Alright. So, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So, the key to renewing strength now is to wait on the Lord. Well, what does that mean? That word wait is the Hebrew word kavah, Q-A-V-A-H, kavah, and it means to bind together by twisting. It means to collect. It means to gather. It means to wind strands of cords together, to depend on and to order activities around a future event. So God is taking you somewhere. He's taking you on a journey. And what He's saying is, while you're going on this journey, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have tribulation. But don't be sad. Be glad. Okay? Have the joy of the Lord while you're going through this tribulation. And what I want you to do, you may feel tired, you may feel weak, but what I am going to do is to give you that strength. But what you've got to do now is you've got to wait. So what does that word wait mean? It means kavah, to twist together, to tie together by twisting. And Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, I believe, it says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And we see threes right through Scripture, and Father, Son, Holy Spirit, body, soul, spirit, you know. And while we're going through whatever we're doing, what are we doing? We're waiting on God. It's not a sit-back, passive waiting, but we're putting this scripture in our hearts with that scripture, and we're encouraging ourselves while we're waiting. That's how you wait on God. You're putting scripture to scripture, and you're putting scripture to situation, and you're putting this scripture, that situation together, and you're twisting them, and they become stronger. Have you noticed, folks, that, well, of course you have, a rope is made up of many strands, And that strand by itself is weak. You pull it, you can break it. But put them together, twist them together, and it becomes what? A rope or a cord. And it becomes stronger so that it's not easily broken. And that's what happens. That's what we should be doing during times of trouble and trial. Putting God's word together, working it with prayer, and working it with obedience. Prayer, the word, obedience. Working them together. And that's how you wait on the Lord. You're putting these three strands together and you're working it. And while you're waiting on God, when you're doing that through meditation, through muttering, through musing, you'll find your spirit man being fed and becoming stronger, so that the thing that you're going through, now you are able to bear it because you've waited on the Lord. As I order my activities of prayer, the word, and obedience toward my expected end, my strength will be new again, and I will be able to run and walk without being weary and without fainting. Those are the notes that I made when I read this verse on Thursday. Psalm 27, verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You ought to know that verse and have it underlined in your Bible. Because God is a God of the now. And I think I said it recently, that God wants to bless you in the land of the living. Thank God for what is coming in the future. And we know blessings are coming in the future. We know that when we get to heaven and all that. But no. While we're here on earth, God wants to bless his people. How many people believe that? Yeah, he wants to bless his people. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But that's verse 13, Psalm 27, 13. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, wait. Whoa, here we go again. Wait on the Lord and be of good cheer, or be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And by the way, that's the same Hebrew word used for wait, for kavah. Same Hebrew word. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Be of good courage. Two things about courage. Number one, courage is not the absence of fear. It is the mastery of it. So while I'm going through adversity, and while I'm waiting on God, while I'm praying, while I'm working the word, while I'm continuing to serve, I've got to encourage my heart, and I've got to be strong. My spirit man now, I'm doing the right things for my spirit man to be fed and to become strong, to do the right thing. But I've got to do this now, having employed, if you like, courage in my life. All right, so stuff will show up, fear will show up, but now my spirit man is built so that I'm able to overcome, okay, that spirit of fear when it shows up in my life. Number two, so courage is not the absence of fear, it is the mastery of it. Second thing about courage is not outsourced, it is generated. Courage is not outsourced, it is generated. So you can't come to me and say, Pastor David, lay hands on me and pray for me for courage. I can't do that. Courage is not outsourced. I can't give it to you. Nobody can give it to you. It is generated. So it's something that you've got to generate now. You've got to get up and you've got to generate that thing inside of you. You've got to say, no, enough is enough. And what are you doing when you say that? You're generating courage. And you're getting up now to do the right thing. Not the wrong thing. The right thing. Let's talk about this a little bit. Weariness. What causes it? Number one. What causes weariness? What causes people to become weary? Number one, disappointed expectation. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Disappointed expectation. I think it says, I would have lost heart unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Let me read it. Something like that, anyway. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Oh no, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And we know that hope is expected end. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, the expected end comes, it is a tree of life. So weariness is caused by a disappointed expectation. Number two, attacks, persecution, and tribulation. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. Weariness is caused by attacks, persecution, and tribulation. It can cause weariness. But we've already seen what we need to do when that happens. James 1, 2 to 4, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. Number 3, what causes weariness? Weariness is also caused by sorrow. Sorrow. A feeling of deep distress caused by losses, disappointments, or misfortune. Sorrow. A feeling of deep distress caused by losses, disappointments, or misfortune. Now that needs no explanation. Sorrow can cause weariness. Note this. What is your token of pain today can be your symbol of victory tomorrow. So whatever you're going through today that may be painful, maybe the symbol of the victory that you're going to experience and walk in. You know, you're going through something and you say, oh my gosh, look at this. And that could be the very thing that leads to your breakthrough. The very thing that leads to your expected end. The thing that God has in store for you. All right, and in closing, how can I overcome weariness and unfavorable seasons? How can I overcome weariness and unfavorable seasons? Number one, make sure that you're loving God like never before. Get up and open your mouth, praise Him, sing songs, declare the goodness of God. And have a happy disposition when you're doing it. Nothing is worse than coming before the King of Kings with a sad countenance and saying, Lord, I love you. Well, show it. Show it. Love on God. Romans 8:28. Number two. How to overcome weariness and unfavorable seasons in your life. The comfort of Scripture. Number two, the comfort of Scripture. How can I overcome this? By going to the Word of God and looking up the promises of God. And remember now, the promises of God are A and Amen. Every promise that God gives in His Word is conditional though. They are only going to be manifested if you meet those conditions. So make sure that you meet the conditions, because God has made it available for us, but there are conditions attached to it. We've got to be obedient, and we've got to pay attention to what God's Word says. So the comfort of Scripture, Romans 15 verse 4, you'll have to look these up later. Psalm 119 verse 28, people who have gone through and you know, God brought them out, we look at Jesus. In His 3.5 year ministry on this earth, He went through a lot. Even the people who He healed shouted, crucify Him. And we all know what He's been through from reading from the Scriptures. So Jesus went through a lot, but He overcame in the end, and He did the will of the Father. Painful though it was. We look at Job. Job went through a lot of things, but he came through. And the Bible says in Job 42 that God gave him as twice as much. Job 42 verse 10. God gave Job twice as much as he had before when he prayed for his friends. Wow. What do I see there? I see others. Job going through it, but guess what? When he prayed for others, when he focused on others, the Bible says God gave him twice as much as he had before. And it's literal twice as much. All the cattle that he lost, all the camels that he lost, everything that he lost, even his children that were lost, God gave him back those things, and his children as well. So his end was better than his beginning. But he had to go through it. Alright? He overcame. Number three, so we love on God, the comfort of Scripture. Oh, Joseph is another example, if you want to write down Joseph. Look what Joseph went through. The Old Testament doesn't mention it, but the book of Psalms, I believe, does. Book of Psalms is the Old Testament. Somewhere in the New Testament, or in the book of Psalms, it mentions that Joseph actually wore shackles. He was put in chains when he was in prison. When we read about that in Genesis, we don't see that. But the Bible reflects that truth elsewhere. So he went through a lot. And we see what it was at age 17. We know what he went through. And when he saw his father, he was what? Age 30, I think. When he saw his dad once again. Look at the amount of years he went through. But he went all through all of that so that the purposes of God would be fulfilled. And it wasn't all about Joseph. It was about the whole country at the end. Because God had his man in the place where he needed to be for others as well as his family and himself. Whatever you're going through, it's never just about you. It's always about others, folks. And that's why you need to have the Word of God with you. How do we overcome? Love on God, the comfort of Scripture. Number three, strategic prayers. Strategic prayers. And what I mean by that is there are different types of prayers. And warfare of prayer is not a meek thing. You've got to use everything that is within you. And you're digging deep and you're praying differently than if you're praying a supplicatory prayer. All right? Strategic prayer, Psalm 34, verses 4 to 7. Psalm 61, verse 1 to 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Psalm 34, verse 4 to 7. Psalm 61, verse 1 to 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Number 4, how do we overcome weariness and unfavorable seasons? Number 4, employ joy. I spoke about that and I quoted Nehemiah verse chapter 8, verse 10. And that's what I'm giving you again for this point. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Employ joy. Okay? When the Bible speaks about joy in the New Testament, right? And you know, I think we read it earlier. It's talking about employing, okay, the patience and employing the things that we need. We put to work the things that God has already given us, and joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and we should be bearing these fruits, and these fruits come in handy for difficult times. So employ it. Put it now to work in your life. Number 5, imputed strength. Funny, because we're talking about strength, aren't we? We started off with that. The strength of God gives comfort and strength in times of tribulation. All right. But now, number 5 is imputed strength. What is that? It's a direct power of God being imputed into your life. The direct power of God being imputed into your life. There is strength that comes when we read God's word, when we pray, when we worship. But there is also the divine, directed, imputed power of God that God is able to do, and to impute that strength right into your life, right there directly, when you need it. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Are the scriptures I'm giving you for that point. Last point I'm making, and then I'm finished. We're going to pray. When you go through tribulation successfully, two things happen. Two things happen when you go through tribulation successfully. Number one, there is an abundance of grace and power released to you. There is an abundance of grace, God's power in action. Okay? Abundance of grace and power released to you when you go through tribulation successfully. In other words, folks, when you go through tribulation, you come out feeling stronger. Your inner man is strengthened. The outer man might be weary, but we've already seen what we can do when we're weary. And when you do all these things, you come out stronger. This is why some Christians are able to maintain continuity, irrespective of the difficulties that others go through. All right? So number one, there is an abundance of grace and power released to you. That's the first thing that happens when you go through tribulation successfully. Number two, you are now empowered and anointed to help others go through what you have been through. I'll repeat. You are now empowered and anointed to help others go through what you have been through. So I've ended up exactly where I started. It's not all about you. It's about comfort that you can bring to others. Comfort that you will need and that you can bring to yourself, but also comfort that you can bring to others. So therefore, I've got to come from this and I've got to say to myself, you know what? No matter what I'm going through, I must always have a word in season. And that's what Paul says in his writings. So that I can encourage my brother, I can encourage my sister. I can have a good word spoken in that right season so that God can have his way and move in my life. All right, and I'm finished. I'm going to stop this.